And I'll be hosting that Sports Animal Fantasy Football League Challenge. Man, it's going to be... You know, I've been saying the past few years, because we've been doing this sort of thing, usually it's just one league of 10 listeners. This year, 90 listeners. We're going to do 10 leagues of 10 teams. I'm going to be in each of those. But I talked about how big fantasy football continues to get, and it continues to get bigger and bigger, and prove me right every single year. And now some higher ups here at Clear Channel have come to me, and they said they want me to be their fantasy football guy. And I said, absolutely. In that growing industry, you want me to be the fantasy football guy? I'll jump on board. Any extra money I can get, too. But it's a lot of fun. I mean, just look at the grand prize we have for this year in this economy. You know, West Shore Pizza steps up. And they say, you know what? If we're going to do a fantasy football league, if we're going to do this big challenge, we need to have a big prize. The big prize? A trip for two and tickets for two to the big game in Miami. I mean, it doesn't get much bigger than that. That's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. You could win that by simply winning our challenge. If you win your league, now see, we're going to have 10 teams of 10 leagues. If you win your league, you get free pizza for a year. Free pizza for a year. Think about that. Then if you're the highest scoring team of the 10 teams, the 10 winners from the 10 leagues, that's when you win the grand prize. And it's free to enter. Oh, by the way, when we do our drafts, which are August 29th and 30th at West Shore Pizza, we're going to randomly select somebody to get free beer for a year. Bud Light. I don't know about you, but I just got very excited. Maybe a little too excited. With that, I'll calm myself down and we'll get to the heart of the matter. Earlier this week, we talked about Raheem Morris and the, I guess, passing of the baton. And really, to me, the transformation of Raheem Morris from the offseason, you don't know really much about him. You know him as an assistant coach and as that player coach, but taking control of the team. You can hear that podcast right here at JoeBucksFan.com already. Today, we're going to take a look at some of the offensive battles. Every training camp you go in and you're going to have your position battles. The Buccaneers, hell, they've got them at every position. And maybe other than Kellen Winslow, he's your starting tight end. Maybe other than the offensive line. But you look at quarterback, running back, wide receiver. Hell, we're even going to look at the kickers today. But we will start with the wide receiver. I want to start with the wide receiver position. And I think we can all agree that the starting receivers are going to be Antonio Bryant and Michael Clayton. Clayton has caught 2 touchdowns in 4 years. We'll see if that changes. A lot of that blame was put on Gruden. And we'll see if Clayton can get back to form. But if you're going to run a running offense, why not have your best blocking wide receiver in there? And that's why I think Clayton is going to be a starting receiver for the Bucs this year. The big battle is going to be at that third receiver. Because I've talked about the lack of depth. And you look at some of these names that are fighting for the third receiver job, and I don't think they're anything to get excited about. Dexter Jackson, who did not, I'm going to be polite here. He did not have a good season last year. He didn't. And you hope that he can at least be a deep threat for you, especially in a vertical offense that's going to run the football and then take their shots downfield. I'd imagine you'd want somebody with the speed of a Dexter Jackson. I think we also have to keep in check the fact that the transition from college to pro for a wide receiver is tough. It's tough. You don't get a Michael Clayton every day. And the reason I use Michael Clayton is because the guy came in his rookie year and was unbelievable, lights out. That doesn't happen. I mean, how many times have we seen receivers come into the NFL and go from nothing in their first year to maybe a little more of something in year two? To maybe like a Roddy White, who was terrible. Roddy White was a first-round selection, didn't do much his first couple of years. Some might blame Mike Vick. Some might blame his route running. Some might blame his hands. It all came together last year for him, though. So are we too quick to maybe give up on a guy like Dexter Jackson? But he's fighting for the number three receiver. Maurice Stovall is battling for the number three receiver. Not much speed there. But I mean, when you watch Maurice Stovall, and I've been to most of the practices here at training camp. When you watch Stovall, he looks the part. He looks like a guy who can dominate. But he hasn't. He hasn't stayed healthy. And he hasn't been consistent in the regular season. Don't underestimate, too, the fact of special teams coming into play. Maurice Stovall's a hell of a special teams player when healthy. And if it's a bottom line thing, maybe he doesn't win the number three receiver spot. They'll find a spot for him on the roster just because of how good he is on special teams. Kelly Campbell's another guy, and I've talked to Raheem about this. You know, Kelly Campbell will go out, he'll make a great play in practice. And then pull up lame with his hamstring and have to miss two or three plays. You can't have that, especially a guy coming into a new team. Sammy Strouder, their seventh-round pick. I'm thinking if you're smart, you hide the guy and sneak him onto your practice squad. But Raheem's talking about him. Mark Dominic's talking about him. You know, I've seen him at practice. Okay. To me, I have to temper my enthusiasm. I just have never seen a seventh-round pick make as big an impact as maybe people over there at One Buck Place are hoping for out of not just Sammy Strouder, but E.J. Biggers as well, their other seventh-round pick. Cortez Hankton fighting. Raheem Morris brought his name up in a press conference a couple days ago. Yeah, he's a nice guy. He's been around. But I'm not seeing big-time flashes from him. I don't really see any of these guys really stepping up. The one guy I see stepping up, and this is a guy who, you know, I had somebody call me last Saturday and said, hey, who's the Chaz Gesner of this training camp? I don't know if he's the Chaz Gesner because I think he can be a player. And that's a guy out of Chamberlain High School, Brian Clark. The guy runs crisp routes. He's got some speed, and he catches anything that's thrown to him. Reminds me of a younger Keenan McCardell, a faster Ike Hilliard. And if he's going to be your number three receiver, I think that's a pretty good option for you. Now, the big question is, and Brian Clark played some last year, did pretty well on special teams, but can he carry over what he's done in practice so far to the games in preseason and in the regular season? Remember, too, I mean, we're 1 week into training camp, so we can sit here and say that Brian Clark has the lead at the third receiver position. But what happens if a Dexter Jackson, people might laugh, but what happens if Dexter Jackson goes out and plays well in these preseason games and scores touchdowns and beats corners deep? What happens if Stovall, who looks the part, plays the part and stays healthy? What happens if Sammy Strouder steps up and plays as well as everyone's talking he will? That's a big question. That's why 1 week into training camp, we can say that Brian Clark has the lead, but we really don't know how it's all going to play out. Now, speaking of that, going to the starting quarterback position, Josh Freeman is out. He is not going to be your starting quarterback. There's just no chance of it. He's just not getting the reps, and to be quite honest with you, and I'll talk about this, I'm sure, more on my show. And the more I see it, the more discouraged I'm getting. Hell, we even took out a notepad the other day at practice. And every time Josh Freeman threw, we either wrote accurate or inaccurate. I will tell you this, he had one accurate pass. I don't remember a lot of inaccurate passes. He's got a lot to learn. He's a young quarterback. Hopefully the fans stay patient with him. Leftwich versus McCown. Leftwich is getting most of the starting reps when I'm at practice. And when I see Luke McCown in there, he's throwing interceptions. The ideal situation for the Bucs is Luke McCown is your starting quarterback. He plays well, and you have trade value in him. If Byron Leftwich steps in, plays well, I don't know how much trade value you have in him. Because he's not young anymore. I think he's right around 30 years old, maybe 31. So I don't know how much trade value you'll have in Byron Leftwich if he stays in and plays well. You'll have a solid quarterback until Josh Freeman gets in there. But once again, ideal situation, McCown plays well, you trade him and get something in return. I just don't know if that's going to happen now because McCown has not played well in practice and Byron Leftwich maybe hasn't played great, but he's played better than Luke McCown. The running back battle, to me, is between Derek Ward and Ernest Graham. I don't see Cadillac Williams making an impact. I think Clifton Smith is going to take some carries this year. But the big battle is between Ward and Graham. And sure, they could split carries, but one of them's going to get more carries. And if you're not on the field, it's hard to impress the coaches. And I predicted that Derek Ward would be the guy simply because the Bucs went out, they paid him, they brought him in as a free agent. They targeted him. And if you're going to target somebody, why not make him your starter? But he's been injured. He injured his foot. And Ernest Graham is getting rave reviews from Raheem Morse. So I expect Ernest Graham to get rewarded for what he's done. But remember, too, and I've said this, Ernest Graham's never played a full 16-game season. So Derek Ward being a compliment, these guys splitting carries is going to be very important. Last battle I want to talk about in today's podcast is the kicker battle. And I've heard a lot of people getting upset that Matt Bryant might be replaced. It's really unfortunate, and I'm going to try and be sensitive here. It's very unfortunate what happened last year to his child. It is. But strictly as a player, other than the 60-so-yard field goal that he made against the Eagles, I can't remember a 50-yard field goal that Matt Bryant made. And to be quite honest with you, he's not very accurate on field goals over 40 yards. Somebody told me the other day, they said, well, he makes everything under 40 yards, though. Take a look around the league, folks. Most good kickers are going to make field goals under 40 yards. That's their job. The great ones, the elite kickers, give you the opportunity to kick 45, 50, 55-yard field goals to get 3 points on the board. Also, elite kickers, great kickers, can kick the ball off into the end zone, something Matt Bryant can't do. However, that is something that Mike Nugent can do. Remember, the Buccaneers were hot and heavy after Mike Nugent a couple years ago in the draft. They were heavily considering drafting him. I talked to Mike Nugent before that draft, and he said that at the time, the Buccaneers might have been the most interested team in him. Well, guess what? The special teams coach at that time was Rich Bisaccia. Currently, the Buccaneers special teams coach is Rich Bisaccia. Matt Bryant has had to sit out with an injury. Mike Nugent's done all the kicking. Whether that's to keep Matt Bryant healthy or to give Mike Nugent an opportunity, Nugent's young. Bisaccia scouted him, wanted him, wanted to draft him, signed him this offseason. I'd keep a close eye on that kicker battle. I don't think it's as clearly Matt Bryant's job as a lot of people think it is. That's going to do it for today's podcast. We'll have a defensive battle breakdown early next week and more podcasts coming your way. Thanks again to all the readers here at JoeBucksFan.com and continue to come here for up-to-the-minute Buccaneer coverage right here at JoeBucksFan.com.